Over to you, Carlo.
Well, I was asking Cyril during our break what he thought of Mr. Pitt becoming the male face of his one of France's national treasures, Chanel No. 5.
I think that's really bizarre. I think it's really misaligned.
Sold
personally.
Perfume in the world, Miss Dior and Chanel No. 5 are still the most sold.
And what does that say about the world of luxury? These are luxury brands sold every 10 seconds.
It's very funny because I trust Chanel of a very smart move on using Brad Pitt for the next campaign. I believe they've done a very thorough research on that and taking a male promoting a female perfume would probably create a precedent on that aspect. So I'm sure it's going to work very well.
I'm sure it will. But how much of Mr. Pitt will be channeling? Is he married to
Not yet.
I'm wondering whether he's been selected because he is channeling Angelina Jolie.
Well, I don't think
when
she would be
appropriate.
When a
woman sprays it on, are they imagining her? Brad Pitt sniffing behind the earlobe, or do they suddenly become Angelina Jolie?
I think it's. I don't agree. I really don't like him being the face of the ad psyche. What do you think?
But maybe
I think
not the face. You don't know how he's going to be used.
Exactly. So. That's the thing. They haven't revealed anything at all.
I don't watch perfume ads that much. Yeah.
Sorry?
I don't watch perfume ads that much, but I do like Brad Pitt. I do.
No, but I just think it's really misaligned for him to be the face or
but
whatever.
The allure.
The body or whatever they're going to use. The nose. Chanel No. 5.
Why do you find it offensive? Because as a woman, you don't want to be sold to by a
kind of... I don't find it offensive. I wouldn't go that far. But I just don't think it's the right... alignment. I mean, I always think of my mum wearing Chanel No. 5, and I think of my mum and Brad Pitt. It just
you can't see him sniffing your mum's lobe.
He's not classic.
Maybe he puts it on.
Maybe he does. But he's not. I don't know. He's not. For me, he's not a classic. I don't know.
But is he a modern classic? Well, guys, what do you think? Text in 4001. Is Brad Pitt a modern classic man?
Should he be the face of or whatever?
Well, he is. That's the
Chanel No. 5.
He's coming to a billboard near you very soon, and he's going to get lots of millions. He might not got the $20,000 for the interview.
Who knows? Anyway, Carlo, what about your stories?
Well, I'll tell you what. The pizza debate is one that I like, especially in light of this idea of nationalisation. There's this, I'm wondering whether people are feeling that they're like pizza bases. There's too much kind of being thrown on top of them from other cultures and countries, and are they becoming less national?
Mm.
And this is what apparently is creating this pizza war in Italy. And incidentally, I'm not sure that the Italians can claim to have created the pizza. I think it's part Greek. So the kind of Greco-Italian historical piece. And possibly even all the way back to Egypt, when they used to put fish and whatever, eggs, on flatbread.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm not sure. But anyway, in Italy, there's a guy in Naples who runs a pizzeria there. I have no idea what it's called. Not because I haven't done my research, it just doesn't tell you. And he is absolutely throwing his tomatoes out of his kitchen and saying, the pizza's dying a death because people want all of these new toppings and he's refusing to do it. So he's going back to basics and he's offering
a
margarita.
Right.
Just a margarita. The secret is in the magnificence of the bread base. It's got to be wood-fired.
Yeah.
It's got to have the right amount of salt. It needs to be worked properly to get the air into that base. And then it's got to be drizzled with the right kind of olive oil so that the crust is crunchy. It's not filled with, 7 inches of deep cheese.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
It's got to be thin in the middle so that it's wet, moist. And then on the outside, you've got that amazing crust. But anyway, here's the thing that you have pizza's being denationalised, but a while back I was reading a story from, again from The Guardian, Rachel Cook, who was talking about Cornish pasties. And there's some supplier of Cornish pasties in Cornwall, and they are no longer having their pasties made locally.
Mm.
So does it stop being a Cornish pasty?
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Anyway.
It always reminds me, have you seen the film Eat, Pray, Love?
Yes.
And she goes to Napoli, particularly to go for pizza. And I was like,
she describes it in the book.
And then they go and buy a pair of fat jeans.
The globalization in food is sometimes very hurried. I was in New York last weekend, and you have Swiss cheese everywhere written, and it's nothing to do with Swiss.
And Greek feta, I'm seeing everywhere.
Yes.
It's not Greek, it's made in Alain or something.
But, the other day I did tabbouleh, and instead of putting burghol, I put quinoa.
Interesting. Modern Middle Eastern.
It's fine when you experiment that at home. But when you take a traditional word like pizza and then you basically change completely the recipe, I think this is
but it really becomes a sandwich then, doesn't it? It becomes a sandwich because people are just using it as a kind of open sandwich. But I'm wondering what kind of pizza do people like, because I get leaflets for Pizza Arabia, Pizza Shawarma, pizza with chicken balls embedded in the crust.
What do they call it? Frankenfood, I think it's become.
No, that's not nice.
But I have to say, the Italians, like the French, are trying to kind of hold on to the food heritage.
Yes, we have this appellation d'origine contrôlée, which is
makes you want to eat French, that accent.
It's just a label where you basically control and verify the origin of the product, and then you do specific product the way that it's supposed to be. I mean, you can be very strong in that aspect, like you were mentioning, like how legitimate a Napoli pizzaiolo is when you consider the background of the story of the pizza. But I think it's interesting is when you really try to keep up the original flavor made locally, you know, like unpasteurized cheese, for example, that you cannot export because the other countries don't want them. But when you're there, you really discover the flavor, which is exploding in your mouth in a different way than you will have from a local supermarket.
So you're saying you can't export it then?
Sometimes you can't.
But you know, don't they keep the best and then export the worst?
I don't think that's happening. In fact, you know, one of the things that another wonderful thing that's happened here is there was an absolutely brilliant little food event at one of the trade centre holes, and I'm not sure if it was part of a bigger exhibition, and it was all the little artisanal companies that were looking for distributors in Dubai. So these are family setups making cheeses, making chocolates, making the most wonderful things, and they're looking for distributors in the Middle East because apparently Dubai first, we're all looking for better things to eat.
Oh, that's good news.
Looking for better things to eat.
But on another side, it's also not bad when you cannot find some product where you live, because it really forces you to travel and
to
really
place.
Appreciate the place you're going to. If you find the same feta everywhere in the world, well, then it's good for you, because you don't like to travel, for example, Carlo.
But
then for food, it's interesting to travel and discover really something different.
But you know, here's something that really surprised me. There are three lists of ingredients: what's acceptable, what is borderline acceptable, and what is totally unacceptable.
Tell us
acceptable for pizza are the obvious things like mozzarella and salamis, cured meats. Borderline is anchovies. I mean, my grandmother's always stuck an anchovy on a pizza.
I think it depends on where you live.
So that one I'm not sure of.
What about unacceptable?
Unacceptable, jalapenos, chili flakes, anything that's char grilled.
Bananas.
Sweet bell peppers, fried eggs, caramelized onion, sun-dried tomato, and chili jam.
Oh, never put that on a pizza.
But you see, here's the thing though, if you've got somebody who's Asian that needs a bit of spice, you're going to add that, otherwise it could be bland.
But then it's not really a pizza.
Well, it is a pizza, but I mean, a little bit of chili flake I don't have a problem with.
Oh, I must
But a melted Mars bar, a couple of eggs and half a can of pineapple, absolutely not. Not doing it, not serving it up.
When is a pizza not a pizza, as you said?
Where's the best pizza you've eaten here?
Oh, I'd love to know that.
Can you tell us, where's the best
text
pizza?
Text us, where's the best pizza ever eaten?
What type of pizza you like, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's all subjective, but what is the most kind of authentic pizza you've eaten? Where's it from?